You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Allen Robinson rumors continue to swirl with conflicting reports about whether or not he actually requested a trade. But the one thing we know for sure is he's unhappy and he wants to get paid. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast, brought to you by NFL Game Pass. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays, or you can replay an entire game and catch all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus and OverTheCap.com will join us to break down everything we need to know about this Allen Robinson situation, particularly the financials, whether or not the Bears can afford to pay Allen Robinson a contract extension, and maybe a closer look at where and how this divide between the two sides may have happened. We'll also explore the possibility of a trade and what that might look like, and take a bigger picture look at his overall value to this Bears offense and where he fits into the long-term plans in Chicago. If you were following along with the Allen Robinson news throughout the day Tuesday, it really fluctuated quite a bit. Earlier in the afternoon, Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune reported that Allen Robinson had indeed requested a trade in addition to the social media account changes that really got all the initial attention. And so it was after that report that I brought Brad Spielberger on a call and we recorded this podcast conversation. But when we were done talking, that's when ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that Robinson has not requested a trade. And so it's not really clear where the truth lies in between those two reports, but I just wanted to emphasize that when we recorded this podcast, we were under the report and assumption that he did request a trade, but we still had some very valuable discussion here, and I don't think Adam Schefter's reporting changes anything from the conversation we had. I just wanted to be completely transparent with you and pull back the curtain a little bit on the timing of this podcast. With that, let's jump right in. Joining us now on the Locked On Bears podcast is Brad Spielberger. He is a salary cap consultant for Pro Football Focus, and he's really our go-to guy for all things salary cap and Chicago Bears. You can follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Brad. So, of course, Brad, we had to bring you in for the big news of the day. The Bears lost two of their practice squad players. What are they going to do without Rashad Smith and Jamon Brown on the practice squad?
Yeah, and Jamon Brown, I know. I mean, the Eagles were desperate for right guards, so they plucked him up, and things are looking dire for the OL situation going forward. That is the big story of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. No, so obviously everyone across the NFL now has their eyes on Allen Robinson. Brad Biggs officially reporting that he requested a trade at some point, as the Bears and Allen Robinson seem to be far apart on a contract extension. And so I guess to start, Brad, I wanted to sort of clear up any misconceptions for people. In your salary cap expertise opinion, can the Chicago Bears afford to pay Allen Robinson what the wide receiver market right now would command for him? Is there a real financial limitation here keeping the Bears from making this contract extension?
You know, I'd say two things. I mean, first, I have to be 100% honest. Coming into this offseason, if you told me the Saints did what they did, based on how I've studied and learned the salary cap, I would have told you like that's not possible. Basically the answer to any question going forward for me will be, if a team wants to get it done and wants to push enough money into the future and do what the Bears have already started to do with guys like Danny Trevathan, several other guys, Massey, Leno. I mean, they have a lot of void years and a lot of contracts. Anyways, if they want to do that continuously, they can do it. They're nowhere near the Eagles or Saints level. So is it a healthy move long term? No. Is it possible? Absolutely yes.
So where does this fall? I mean, obviously we don't know the dynamics here, but do you think this is about salary cap health in that regard, in the sense that yes, they could do it, but it would be tricky and I guess risky and put more pressure on them long term? Do you think it comes down to sort of shaking this money out? And I guess how much do you think the projected flat salary cap in 2021 in particular is limiting this?
You know, it's interesting. I think going back to something you mentioned in the first question about Brad Biggs reporting, Chicago reporter for the Tribune reporting about the trade request, is that earlier in the day, I think we specifically saw a report that he had not asked for a trade from Tom Pelissero. And then that came out. And that, to me, based on the way Biggs phrased it, at first I obviously thought maybe there was a Trubisky connection, and that's probably me projecting a little bit. But the more I thought about it, I thought the Keenan Allen deal at $20 million per year was a game changer in the NFL wide receiver market. And I say that because he's a phenomenal receiver, but the notion has always been that if you operate out of the slot, you have a slightly reduced market. That's just been how it's gone. And for him to jump Adam Thielen and kind of the Jarvis Landry deals and the $15, $16 million per year deal all the way up to $20 million, I kind of have a feeling that if they were close at some point, maybe in the last 2 weeks, that just dropped a grenade in the middle of the conversation. So I don't know that it's like a cap thing or a cash flow thing, and that he wants more upfront money or more guarantees. I almost think it's a disconnect on value that may have gotten a little bit exacerbated. And this is my personal opinion, I'll say, but I also think it's possible that they already realize that they're going to have to go through something of a rebuild or whatever you want to call it. Because from what I saw under center, you know, on Sunday, is a team needs to replace that quarterback in the upcoming draft. So why pay a receiver $20 million a year when you know you need to get a new quarterback anyways?
Yeah, the quarterback situation throws kind of an interesting wrinkle in this when you try and plug Allen Robinson into the long-term plans in Chicago. We'll explore whether Allen Robinson is even worth a $20 million a year contract and what his value could be on the trade market next on Locked On Bears. If not for the Allen Robinson trade news, we would be using today's podcast to really break down the All-22 film from the Bears' win over the Lions. And the only place you can get that coach's film is through NFL Game Pass, which brings you every snap from every game with their full game replays, or you can see it all in just 45 minutes with condensed games. It's the best way to relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game, every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 episodes of the NFL Game Pass film session, where you go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down football's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best, like Eddie Jackson, Akeem Hicks, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. So go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Pro Football Focus salary cap consultant Brad Spielberger with us on the podcast today, breaking down all things Allen Robinson. And Brad, do you think in a vacuum, Allen Robinson is worth $20 million a year? Obviously, team building strategy plays a role in that, but if the quarterback situation were different and financially maybe a little bit different, I mean, Amari Cooper got $20 million a year this offseason. Like you said, Keenan Allen, just like a hair over $20 million in his extension. And obviously, guaranteed money plays a factor in that, but a lot of these guys are kind of looking at a similar, like, 30 to 40% of that contract guaranteed at this point. Is Allen Robinson in that tier, in your opinion?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he's a top. If you look at just 2018 and 2019 seasons, which even had a couple injuries for Robinson, which I know happens to every guy, but he was a top 15 wide receiver per PFF WAR over those 2 years. And so even getting away just from numbers, in my opinion, I think specifically to the Bears, he has a knockdown effect, which I heard someone describe with DeAndre Hopkins, that the Cardinals receivers definitely weren't great last year, but the larger issue was that Christian Kirk was a one and he's a two. Fitzgerald now at his age was a two, but he's really a three. And so Hopkins has that, you know, knockdown effect where he doesn't like make everyone better. It's just they have less attention and stuff like that. So not only has he himself produced at a very high level with very shaky play from the quarterback, but I also think when an offense is going to focus their full attention on Anthony Miller, who is a good player, don't get me wrong, and Jimmy Graham and rookie Darnell Mooney, who looks good, but like those guys aren't going to produce.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I agree with you in terms of Allen Robinson's value, absolutely, as a tried and true proven wide receiver. And I think his ability to stay healthy over the last couple of seasons has been particularly big after the ACL tear and some of that back and forth that we saw in Jacksonville, but very clearly reestablished himself as the guy who's capable of 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns like we saw in 2015. And it seems like the market and the perception of Allen Robinson is that a lot of other teams would be really happy to have him. And as that trade request conversation heats up, and as if teams start calling Ryan Pace, maybe the Bears won't consider it, but if we put that aside for a second, if you were going to trade Allen Robinson, What would be your asking price? What do you feel like is, I mean, obviously you want to get as much as you can, but what's, I guess, the least you feel like you would accept for somebody like Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, Allen Robinson's a tremendously valuable player. I mean, it's a number one wide receiver who, it's funny because he's only 27, but it seems like he's been around longer. Yes, he had the ACL tear, but I mean, at a certain point in the NFL, if you come back the way he has, I don't think you can really like still point to that. Maybe there is an issue there, but as far as we can tell, there isn't at all. Asking price is absolutely a first. Like I don't think a team is hanging up the phone on you. You know, if they call the Bears and the Bears say, yeah, we want a first rounder, like I don't think they're laughing them off the phone. Whether they get a first this late in the game, you know, when it's basically teams have already budgeted everything on, you know, even non-COVID situations, like it's not, you know, we don't see mid-season trades a lot because teams just don't really, you know, budget for it and kind of plan for it. So, and another question as well is, are they going to negotiate an extension for Allen Robinson as a part of the trade, or are they going to wait? Which, as we've seen time and time again, you know, with Jalen Ramsey, the most recent example, like that jacks up, and DeAndre Hopkins, that wide receiver, that jacks up your price. So there's a lot of variables there, but yes, I'm asking for a first if on the Bears. I would take a two and a four or a two and a five if my choice is he won't play on his current deal, I won't extend him, and our plan is franchise tag, but I have a legitimate fear that he's basically just going to say, okay, I'll sit, and like I'll do anything but be a Bear in 2021. Then yeah, two and a four maybe, like if that's your, you know, if that's all you can get.
Yeah, I was kind of looking back at some recent trades, and I think that the one that feels the closest, right? Well, I don't know if the closest, there's never a one-for-one comparison for trades, but like, you know, Amari Cooper a couple of years ago, it was like October when he went from Dallas to the Raiders straight up for a first-round pick. He wasn't quite an expiring contract at that stage, if I remember right. He didn't need his extension until this offseason that he got the five-year, $100 million deal, but still a player sort of trending in this direction of wanting to be traded and still being at the top of his game, but not... He's not the top wide receiver in the NFL, but in that, I guess, I don't know if second tier is even too disrespectful, but that 1A, he's not Julio Jones. He's not quite, you know, Odell Beckham, at least, well, the old Odell Beckham. But even like this off, you know, more recently we saw DeAndre Hopkins in a fourth for David Johnson, and then I believe that came with a second round pick and a future fourth, and then it was Stephon Diggs and a seventh round pick for, I think it was a first, a fifth, a sixth, and like a future fourth round. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So it seems like the NFL has been more palatable to trading big time receivers in recent years, but do you think the outcry, I mean, given that there's, you know, his teammates have been saying extend AR and all the attention is sort of firestorm, does that lower the value, or do you think NFL teams have kind of moved past that? It seems like that was a bigger deal in the past, and now, I mean, do you think that's still a factor in teams' mind in terms of a distraction or somebody being selfish or something?
You know, I do think, just I'll go with the first question or kind of, you know, topic at first with the whole trade aspect. You know, you mentioned Amari Cooper, and you're right that he had the fifth year option remaining. So that extra year, you know, that's why I say, well, if he only got a first, like you're getting a guy that's a pending free agent, you're automatically saying, okay, well, Amari was a first, so now we're going down from that. But So that was, you know, the perfect example of how to look at if you're trying to analyze the trade there. Shoot, now I'm blanking on the second part of the question.
The firestorm surrounding this and all, how it's been such a, I don't want to say a huge controversy, but there's been a lot of back and forth and like everyone's paying attention. Now the NFL knows Allen Robinson wants out. So do you think that really, does that lower his trade value, or do you think the Bears have enough leverage here? I mean, he is a pending free agent, so NFL teams can say, we'll just wait till this offseason, but the Bears could counter by saying, we'll franchise tag him, but if Robinson wants to hold out from, you know, I mean, there's some back and forth here with the leverage, and I guess, do you think this trade request and all the attention it's getting lowers the Bears' leverage or makes it easier for other teams or scares other teams off for not wanting to deal with all this?
So I totally hear you now. And I think that you addressed it the first time you asked it when I apologize. I didn't remember the question. But I think Allen Robinson is a great guy. And I think a lot of people know that around the league. I think it's pretty evident. I don't think this really has been that bad either. Like, he hasn't even really said or done much. Yeah, I get he took like some logos out of his social media accounts. But on the scale of wide receiver drama, I think we could agree we've seen that's pretty low on the scale. So, but to another point, I think, which another thing I would say I kind of learned this offseason is the leverage within a locker room. And that I completely think is more powerful than I ever gave it credit for. And I think Kamara is probably the best example. But basically the team going to ownership or whoever they go to and saying, like, this is our guy. This guy needs to be here. Like, we're not going to quit on you if he leaves. But, like, it's going to be a problem. And we're going to, like – we're going to have a problem with it if you trade him away or if you don't give him the deal that he clearly deserves. And I think that's real. I think it's real pressure.
I agree, especially now the way we've seen Bears teammates come out on Twitter and tweet, you know, hashtag extend A-Rob or whatever the hashtag was. I've never seen that where it feels like the players are kind of like rallying against management. And well, and that's sort of what I was – that's like the closest thing to controversy that we have here where in some ways it's – it's unity from the players, but it's also like it is creating, I don't want to say it, I don't know if it's a full-on distraction, but it is like, I don't know, like Matt Nagy talks about being we, not me, and in some ways it's we because the players are behind him, but it is also a me thing because it's about him getting his contract and not being, you know, selfless in the way of just put the team first and do your job and stake. I mean, he has so far, but clearly things have been escalating. So I guess, I don't know, how do you navigate that if you're Matt Nagy and if you're Ryan Pace? You like the unity, but you don't like the attention and the, you know, the sort of the self-focus there.
It's a great point as well. I mean, they definitely do preach the we over me, and this would probably fall into that bucket. You know, it is an individual looking for a specific thing. And of course, if you wanted to go further, you know, you could say, oh, it's also like, you know, a bad time in the economy and you're still getting paid. You have a $10.9 million base salary and you want more. Like, they can go that angle. But for me, I think this is just like, we're kind of in still in a moment of player empowerment in sports, in my opinion. Like, I don't think it was solely tied to social justice issues, to college athletes specifically looking for pay or stuff like that. Like, I think it branches out to, they know they have leverage and a voice. And I saw the NFLPA speak through the CBA negotiation, which I don't think they did great at, but once they were done and they were with, you know, JC Treader, the new president going into the COVID amendments, was actually negotiating via the media by saying, basically like penning letters and saying things that made you want to feel empathy for the players. And it's not something we've ever really seen before. Like, I think the NFL for the longest time did a really good job of making it about the logo. I mean, about the shield. And I think these players realize, like, why can't I quickly fire off a tweet and go back to my job? I won't actually let it distract me. It'll actually take me 10 seconds. You can call it a distraction all you want, but it really isn't. And they're basically, yeah, I mean, they're kind of saying, like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, definitely adding it to the list of things that are just different in this 2020 season. And I'm sure this Allen Robinson saga is not done. There's going to be more, I guess, drama as this moves forward. There's got to be some sort of resolution in some way, shape, or form. And Brad and I both think the Bears and Robinson are going to get a contract extension done. We'll explain why next on Locked On Bears. It's clear that Allen Robinson is one of the most important parts of this Chicago Bears offense. And nobody knows more about important parts than our friends at rockauto.com. It's a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years with a huge catalog with everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So whether you're working on a classic car in the garage or just need to fix up your daily commuter, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. I love how easy it is to navigate their website. You just pull up your car's make and model and sort by all the parts available for your vehicle based on the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Because chain part stores will actually have different prices if you're a professional mechanic versus just a do-it-yourselfer at home like us. So don't spend up to twice as much for the same parts somewhere else. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So let's make Brad Spielberger general manager of the Chicago Bears for a second. You're in charge of the team starting today. So, I mean, I think if you had been GM, you might have handled the quarterback situation differently 6 months ago. But given where the team stands right now, if you're in charge, where they are financially, where they are from a quarterback standpoint, first of all, would you extend Allen Robinson or would you be inclined to maybe trade him and say, save that money, get draft compensation and try and, you know, I don't want to say like tank the season, but to some extent, if you're trading Allen Robinson, you're kind of kicking the can on 2020. Have you seen enough after 1 week to say, yeah, if you were GM, smart team building strategy would be trade Allen Robinson, acquire draft picks and try and get the rebuild a little bit ahead of schedule here?
So I really wouldn't say that. That might surprise some folks. I wouldn't say that at all, because I think the biggest thing that I try to preach, and it sounds extremely simple, like I promise you this is going to sound dumb when I say it, but it's that when I like try to analyze any team's offseason and look at all their moves, for me, consistency in your direction and your plan and your purpose, it stands out. It really does. And I'm not going to call this an all-in season or anything like that. I also don't think it's like a hot seat offseason, although I've seen people like ask me if I think that. I don't. But anyways, I mean, you sign your biggest free agent acquisition is Robert Quinn, who's a 30-year-old edge rusher. So, you know, a guy who has a 3-year, 4-year window, if that. You extend Danny Trevathan, who's a 30-year-old middle linebacker. There's no out on that deal until like 2022. They still would have dead money in 3 years from now. And I love Danny Trevathan, but it was hard to watch on Sunday. So your direction this offseason was going in for a window right now. It's the fourth year of a rookie QB contract, which they clearly thought they were going to be playing on. You get the quarterback, all that. So anyways, no, I absolutely extend Allen Robinson. People ask me also, like, do you think they spent money elsewhere? That, if that's true, that's like the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Like if they overspent on Jimmy Graham's guarantees and now they can't afford Allen Robinson. That didn't happen. Or if it did, we have larger issues to address. But
are you talking in terms of cash flow there? Like, because that's, if you could explain that concept for people, I think that's something that gets lost and overlooked in a lot of off-season discussions, is not just salary cap space, but like you're talking how much physical cash on hand the Bears would have to hand out that contract extension?
100%. Yeah. So every off-season you're going to get a cash budget. And we all know you can manipulate the salary cap all you want, but basically you come and say, here's how much money you have to spend this offseason. And that's why like we see deals dry up at the end of like the offseason, because they literally have spent their cash budget. So yeah, so it can't be a cash budget issue. If they really didn't just like earmark an amount, even like 150% of what they thought it like their highest offer would be, you know, just to be super safe, like then that's a little crazy to me. But yeah, so yeah, I'm talking cash here. But so it's not that. Yeah, so I extend him. And to be honest, you already lost, because you probably should have foreseen the market going up this offseason. And there were various checkpoints, like we talked about earlier. When trades happen, there's always a huge extension to follow. So like as soon as DeAndre Hopkins gets traded, that like should trigger to you like, okay, the wide receiver market just went up like $2 million. Like all these things are happening. If he was asking for 19 in March or April and they wanted to give him 18 because that was, you know, it would have made him top five, which was talked about in Brad Biggs' article. I don't know what top five he's referring to now, because it's moved a lot at the wide receiver position. If they were nickel and diming over that, like that's you've already lost, because now his floor is $20 million, in my opinion. And I still give it to him.
Given where the Bears stand at quarterback, I mean, I know Nick Foles' contract has some outs in it, but there's a lot of guaranteed money that still kind of lingers over the next year or two. But then Mitch's rookie deal expires this year and likely not going to earn any kind of big contract extension, if any major contract, this offseason. So potentially in line for another rookie quarterback. I mean, there's anything can happen at the quarterback position this next offseason, but the point being, the Bears still won't have a lot of money invested in that position. And we talk a lot about, you know, team building and how when you have the quarterback on a rookie contract and when you're a team that doesn't have to pay a QB $30 million a year, you have more money to spend on other positions. So would you say, given where the Bears are at quarterback, albeit some uncertainty, are they in a better position than others to pay Allen Robinson? I mean, they've already put a lot of money in on other spots, and Foles is not cheap. He's not rookie quarterback cheap. I mean, we're not looking at what the Chiefs had with Patrick Mahomes or with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson or early in Russell Wilson's career, where you were paying him peanuts and could pay everybody, but the Bears still won't be paying a lot of money at the quarterback spot. So I guess where would you say they are at in terms of capacity to spend big at other positions based on where their quarterback spending is right now?
So this is basically the bullseye question of the offseason for me, because, again, they can do it if they want, but the reason why I think that they are in one of the worst, if not the worst, situations from a cap perspective in the entire NFL, they're in a cluster basically where, in terms of how their outlook is for this year and next year, they're surrounded by all teams that have quarterbacks that currently are and will be getting paid like $35 million plus already. They're, you know, Steelers, Seahawks, Packers, you know, Chiefs, like those are the teams they're surrounded by. And then there's the Bears. And so they do have cheap cap hits. You know, next year Trubisky obviously could be zero. Foles will still be cheap again. I think it's $6.66 million again, so really low. It actually is almost like a top 10 pick level of low cap hit. And they're still in one of the worst situations based on just the contracts they have at other positions. But I go back to my first answer. If they want to find room for Allen Robinson and just push money down the line because they don't have a huge quarterback contract, they can totally do that.
All right, Brad, to wrap up here, I want to put you on the spot. It's impossible to predict exactly what's going to happen, but give me, if you had to bet money on it, which would be a really weird bet, what's going to happen here with Allen Robinson? I mean, I totally understand that it's kind of a complete guess and a shot in the dark, but if you had to pick between he gets an extension in season, he gets traded, or even the Bears let him hit free agency this offseason, I guess, how would you rank the likelihood of those things?
I'm going to go with 3 years. $58.5 million, which is $19.5 million per year now, which is still low. Like that's probably like a nice deal for the Bears if they pull it off. But I'm going to go low years because I'm going to guarantee like a hefty chunk of this thing. Probably like you mentioned earlier, 30-40% can be, you know, about average. Like I'm talking of the $58.5 million, like 35 of it's guaranteed at signing, and they just push onward and just figure the rest out later.
So you think that that's more likely than any kind of trade or letting him walk? That more or less, if you had to guess what's going to happen, probably a deal done at some point here.
I would be really, really surprised if they don't just come to an extension at some point. Because like kind of just like I said, a trade now, in my opinion, if you trade him now, you might as well trade Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, everyone. So I think they just pay him and just figure it out.
Well, I think that's great news and welcome words for a lot of Chicago Bears fans that might be feeling a little bit nervous right now with everything going on with Allen Robinson. But Brad, you are excellent as always, and a soothing call, a voice of reason in a time with a lot of swirling speculation about Allen Robinson. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us. Let everybody know kind of what you're working on this season and where you're working and how they can best find what you're up to.
Lauren, first, I want to thank you for having me on again. I got to talk to the hottest guy on Twitter today. That was a treat. So if you haven't seen Lauren's video, check it out. Maybe make a donation to the Allen Robinson Within Reach Foundation. But yeah, please come check out my content. I recently started doing some work with PFF. I actually have an article coming out tomorrow. I know this is dropping, I guess, tonight, but tomorrow So maybe this is today when I say that, but yeah, pff.com. I'm talking salary cap, contract to your players. So it's not just money. Sometimes it's looking at the stuff you love from PFF, but I just focus on guys that are looking to score a deal. And then on Twitter at PFF_Brad.
Perfect. Brad, again, really appreciate you taking the time, and we'll do it again soon for sure.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks again to Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation, make sure that you hit that subscribe button on whatever app you're listening to right now, because that's the best way to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. On tomorrow's podcast, we'll be joined by Patricia Traina, who is the host of Locked On Giants here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and she's going to give us the lowdown on what's going on with Daniel Jones and Joe Judge after a kind of a weird week one for the Giants. Saquon Barkley had a real struggle there, and given the Bears' issues in run defense last week, kind of curious to see how this matchup's going to play out, and she'll be able to give us really that local expertise on what's going on with the Giants. So make sure you're tuning back in tomorrow and every day, because we're here for you 5 days a week. Plenty of great Bears news and in-depth analysis still coming your way. We never had a chance to really get into the All-22 film from Sunday because the Allen Robinson talk really took much more important precedent. But on a normal week, we would likely use the Wednesday podcast to really comb through that coach's film and see what else we can take away. So we'll have more of that coming for you in the future as well. And I really don't think anyone else is bringing you this level of Bears talk on demand in your podcast feed. That's what I love about this 5 day a week format. You get, you know, about your 20 to 30 minutes of Bears talk right on demand whenever you want it. It's like sports radio whenever you want, and you don't have to listen to any other Bulls or Cubs or White Sox talk on this podcast. It's all Bears, all the time, 5 days a week, just enough to get your fill, but not overloading you with a multi-hour podcast marathon. And it's the perfect amount to bear down.